Can we say a word of prayer? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are celebrating in this season. We ask the Lord, even as we've come this evening to remember the birth of your Son, may it make meaning in our lives in the name of Jesus. In this short period of time that we'll listen to your word, we pray that it will illuminate our heart expressly in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the light shineth in us. We pray that the light that will come in us will illuminate our life in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Because we know that the entrance of your word this evening will give us light. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Can we turn to somebody and say Merry Christmas? I want to sincerely appreciate the leadership of the church. I want to appreciate my father in the Lord. Thank you so much for this opportunity. On Sunday was my first time in this place, physically, anyway. Amen. But it was indeed a very glorious one. I don't want us to look at the number. Even Jesus Christ, when he came, he only walked with 12 close disciples. Amen. And I always tell people that the blessing that comes with building the house of God is more than staying in the house that is already built. So many people run away from building the house of God. That house, it's not big. People are not full. That's why I don't want to go. They want to go to where things are settled. I can give you first-hand information that going to those places is good, but coming to places that you have opportunity to build, both spiritually and physically, is even better. I pray that God will grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, sir, for this privilege, and I pray that God will grant you more grace in Jesus' name. This evening is Christmas Eve. I want to briefly look at the topic, Jesus, God's provision for redemption. Jesus, God's provision for redemption. And I want to quickly read from where was read for us by our brother, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. It's a very popular Christmas passage. 9, verse 6 to 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from time forward, even forever." Amen. Amen. Can we look at the book of John chapter 3 verse 16 very quickly? It's a very popular verse. Even without opening it, I believe everybody here can read it. Can we read it together? Praise God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life." Amen. This evening, again, I would want to remind us that the topic is Jesus, God's provision for redemption. Though Christmas is a season for merriment, it's a season that we celebrate the birth of a child. Because normally, if you give birth to a child, after 7 days, you do the coma, you celebrate. Amen. And even the day you give birth to the child, you all come outside rejoicing and thanking God. Hallelujah. But the birth of Jesus holds more than the merriment. It holds more than the chicken and the rice we are eating. Amen. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of a bigger plan, of the salvation plan of God. Amen. We know that the Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that at the point in the Old Testament, there were people that were coming to give out rams, to slaughter rams, to slaughter chicken for the atonement of sin. And it got to a point that this ram, this chicken were not enough again to atone for sin. And God was looking for a permanent solution for this. And Jesus, the Son of God, presented himself to God and said, "Send me, let me go and die for these people." And it is the beginning of that journey that we are celebrating, which is what? The birth of Jesus Christ. Through what? Through Mary. Hallelujah. Whenever we celebrate Christmas, we must understand that there are two major things that are in play. One, our sin and our unrighteousness. Whenever we celebrate Christmas, beyond the eating, beyond the merriment, there are two major things that we must reflect on continuously. The number one thing is what? Our sin and our righteousness. Because it is by our sin, it is because of our sin that God had to come down. Can we quickly look at Romans chapter 3 verse 23? Romans chapter 3 verse 23. Okay, he said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in what? Jesus Christ." So we have all sinned. It is for our sin that Jesus Christ has come to die. So Jesus Christ did not just say, "Oh, I'm tired of sitting in heaven, so I want to come and relax in heaven on earth for 33 years. Oh, I'm tired of sitting with my father, so let me just come and relate with this people for 33 years. No, that was not the case. The number one reason that Jesus had to be born on earth, before even talking about the death on the Calvary, was because of what? Our sin. And the number two thing we must reflect on in this season is what? That God's plan to redeem us from that sin and from the plan of the devil. Romans 5 verse 11. Romans 5 verse 11. It says, "And not only that, but we also rejoice that in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received what? The reconciliation." We have received reconciliation, what? Through Christ. He said, through one man, sin came to the world, and through one man, salvation also came. Amen. So, I'm just trying to expand us to look at the bigger picture of the birth of Christ that is beyond us celebrating and jumping. Let's take, for example, now, if you receive a prophecy, our father in the house gives a prophecy that, oh, you are going to give birth to a child, but that child that you are going to give birth to is for a particular reason. The day you give birth to that child, you are not going to look at the child as an ordinary child. You are going to look at that child and look at the reason that child came. You are going to look at the reason. So Yoruba people, it's very common. It is that reason that they used to name the child. Praise God. You see them like Oluwa Darasimi, Oluwa Segomi Dogo. Praise God. The circumstances around that makes us to give the child the name. So the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus is what the salvation plan of God. Amen. So what do we mean by redemption? We've talked about the birth. What do we mean by redemption? Redemption is to bring back something, not to restore something from the old or the natural nature, the natural man. So when we are talking about the salvation, the redemption plan of God, we are talking about God bringing us up from sin, bringing us from this our natural man. Because a man in itself cannot be holy. A man in itself cannot be righteous without the help of God. He said, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he said, "I can do all things through what? Through Christ that was strengthens me." I think it's the book of Philippians. So redemption is to what? To take you from that sin, to take you from that place, that from that natural man, from that sinful nature, to take you from there and to bring you to a place that is better, which is what? The light of God. And we know that it is for this purpose that we are celebrating this season, the purpose of redemption. And how do we respond to this redemption? How do we respond to this redemption? If somebody gives you a gift, if somebody comes and gives you, no matter how little the gift is, there must be a response, either positive response or negative response. Amen. So the response we give to Christ in this season determines a lot about our life as a Christian. So many people in this season, they'll say, Christmas period is the time that we'll jaye. Bottles will be flying. Praise God. Cigarette sticks will be rolling on the floor. Amen. That is not the essence of Christmas. Some they've contributed their money from January to December so they can oppress their neighbors with a sweet aroma. Praise God. I'm not saying it's bad to eat food though. Amen. But the motive must be clear. We must not, because we want to oppress our neighbor. We must not, because we want to show off that new clothes, especially for the young ones, because we want to show off that beautiful clothes that mommy bought, that daddy bought. That's why Christmas. No. That's not the reason for Christmas alone. The reason for Christmas is because Christ was born so that he will die for your sin and he will die for my sin, that he can bring us from that bondage that the enemy has held us. Amen. So what is our response? What is our response? Our number one response must be what? To search. Remember when Jesus was born, the Bible says that the star appeared to the three wise men. But what happened to the three wise men? They did not just sit down. They took up their bag. They took up their gifts. And they began to search. That, where is this king that was born for us in the Bethlehem of Judah. They went as far as asking King Herod that, please, was the king born here? Praise God. You have to search for this God. You have to seek this God. It's not enough that Christ came for our sin, to die for our sin. Our response must be that we seek him, and when we find him, we must hold him tight. Some of us, we are not seeing him because we are not finding deep enough. Something happened, was it last night or a day before yesterday or so? So I was looking for something all over, searching for it. Where did I keep it? From morning till evening, I could not find it. And I was touching my pocket, back, front, everywhere, I could not find it. So when I wanted to sleep, I now said, let me dip and into my pocket. Lo and behold, it was in my pocket. Praise God. So it was not that the thing was not there, it was there, but I did not look far enough. In this season, or in this era that we are in as Christians, you must not find Christ superficially. It's not the period when you just read your Bible for 5 minutes and you are okay. It's not the period when you just pray 5 minutes prayer and you are okay. It's not the period when you take your faith for granted. Amen. Our Father in the Lord was talking on Sunday about that this day there must be power. People must see the power in you, because your Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. As we search, as we move around, let the light of God be seen. Let that redemption that Christ was given birth to for our sake, let it be seen in us. Let men not say, you are Brother James. Oh, sorry, it was when I heard your name, James, that I knew that you were a Christian. I never knew that you were a Christian. That is an error. Praise God. When they tell you that, please go back and go and fast. Go back and see. Go and have a personal revival. If somebody tell you that, it was when I heard your name that I knew that you were a Christian. In Antioch, it was not their name that they used to identify them as Christian. It was their character. The Bible says that when the people of Antioch saw them, they were like Christ. And they said, these are Christ-like, so let's call them Christians. Their characters. What we call Christian names today, they are not actually Christian names. They are just Greek names, Hebrew names. James, Peter, they are Hebrew names. They are just normal names in Hebrew. Praise God. So that is not the reason they should know you as a Christian. The light that comes from you must be what people see, must be what people actually perceive and call you Christ. As we are running this evening, I just want to quickly talk about the gifts that the birth of Christ brought to us as Christians. Number one gift that the birth of Christ brought to us as Christians is what? The salvation. That is in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The salvation is the number one thing that the birth of Christ brought for us. And if you miss it, let me tell you, it's very difficult to get other things. Because in the book of Matthew, the Bible says that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be what? Added unto you. So it's an error for you to be seeking deliverance from witchcraft spirits, probably in the night, witches are oppressing you, and you say, I want to pray for God to break that spirit, when you don't know that God. It's not possible. So I don't know, have you seen somebody outside that comes to you and say, that's you, please, my father, I need this one, give me this one. I know, apart from the heart of a father that is okay, I want to give this person this one, there is a limit to which you give to that person, because there is no connection, there is no relationship. So you must first understand what the salvation plan. You must first understand the salvation of God. You must first get that salvation. Luke 2 verse 11. Luke 2 verse 11. It says, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is what? Christ the Lord. A Savior. A Savior who is what? Christ the Lord. So the number one gift of Christ's birth is what? Is what? Salvation. The number two gift is what? Hope. The number two gift is what? Hope. You know, it's because of the coming of Christ that we have hope to face the uncertainty. There's a song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he owns my future. My life is what? I live in just because he lives. The birth of Christ brings hope. Amen. Because Christ came, we know that, this person has come for our salvation, so there is hope. Because Christ is born, the devil could not hold the birth of Christ. There is hope that poverty will not overshadow us. there is hope that sickness will not overrun us. Because Christ was born, there is hope that we will not go back into the world. The third thing is what? The gift of joy and peace. If we look at the same Luke chapter 2, verse 10, he said, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Good tidings, good news. The third gift is what? Gift of joy and peace. Gift of joy and peace. Brethren, father, mothers, brothers, in this season, I don't want us to actually don't look at the economic analysis. I'll tell you that at the beginning of this year, when I was looking at myself, I was looking at what the newspapers were saying, what my account was saying, it was as if all hope was lost. But I tell you, the moment I began to look away from the analysis, I found peace. When they said, "Oh, fuel has gone to 480 naira," I say, "Ah, transport will increase, food will increase. What are we going to do?" For a week, anytime I think about it, my mind was pounding. Praise God. And in the time came, they started selling for 480, and God was gracious. Everything, God was gracious. And again, all of a sudden, they said they've changed it to 680. The last one that came was the one they said they've changed it to 1,000 plus. Ah! I was in the office that day when I heard the news. I said, 1,000 plus. How am I going to be fueling my car? Food stuff, this. And as I was pondering on it, immediately the Spirit of God spoke to me that, "Who has been sustaining you? Who has been sustaining you? What has been, is it your salary that has been sustaining you?" Praise God. And at that moment, I found peace. At that moment, I found peace. So I want us to be assured that no matter the economic analysis, no matter what people may be saying, no matter what the newspaper may be saying, see, forget them. As long as you are operating by heavenly economy, your own account will never run dry. It will never run dry. I can assure you of that. The number fourth gift of Christmas is the gift of deeper revelation of God's love. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 is a very popular one. Romans 5 verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8. It reads. He said, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. So we can see that you can see the level of love that God has for us. We are sinners, but yet he's still dying for us. It's like that. Probably one of my brothers offended you, and in the midst of that offense, you are still going the extra mile to make sure that okay. That is human. You can imagine the depth of love that Christ has for us. He said, "Who amongst you will give stone to his child when he asks for bread?" Praise God. "Or give him scorpion when he asks for fish?" If you, human, as wicked as you are, will not do that, talk more of me, your Father in heaven. So the birth of Christ is a demonstration that God loves us very well. And the last thing is what? The gift of unity of fellowship. The gift of unity of fellowship. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. As we begin to wrap up. Sorry, we've taken some time. Ephesians 2 verse 14. Praise God. He said, "For his peace, he has broken down the wall." So Christ is not come. He said, I've not come to abolish the law of Moses, but I've come to bring completion, to bring perfection to it. Praise God. So one thing that it is because Christ came and died for us. Christ came and died for our sin, and we became born again. We became Christians. That we have become united in one body. We have become united. You are my brother. You are my sister. So our brotherhood is no longer defined by blood, but is defined by the blood of Jesus. It's not by the blood of our biological genetics or whatever, by the blood of Jesus. So that's what another gift that the blood, birth of Christ gives, that what it brings us unity in our fellowship. As we begin to wrap up, I want us to understand that as we celebrate this festive season, let us know that Christ has brought love, he has brought hope and salvation, he also brought joy. He has inspired us to worship and serve him in gratitude for the greatest gift he has given us, which is Jesus. I don't want us to look at what we don't have. I want us to look at what we have, and that is the gift of Jesus in this season. Chicken, new clothes, those are just additions to the main celebration. Somebody said something on social media. He said, somebody posted, he said, I'm not ready for this Christmas. I feel like they should postpone this Christmas. And the guy said, why would they postpone Christmas? Jesus is the one celebrating birthday. Is it your birthday? Amen. Praise God. So the birthday is about Jesus Christ. It's not about us per se. So can we just bow our head this evening as we begin to speak with God? Can we, as in the moment of time, say, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I want us to thank him. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you because you have given us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, because you have given us your Son to be born for us in this season and to bring us salvation. Father, we thank you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. I just want us to pray one prayer before I leave here. I always like us to tie some certain. I want us to, each time we have opportunities like this, I want us to tie some specific prayers to it so that it will be a marker to say, oh, it was during this period that something like this happened to me. So I want us to pray. I don't know that which you are trusting God for. Probably from January to the 24th day of December 2024. And you've not seen it come to full manifestation. I want you to tie it to this period, to this season. And say, Father, this season will not pass without me receiving that miracle. To you, it might be late, but God is the God of the 11th hour. He can do everything. Those things that are impossible for man to do, he can do it. Can you just open your mouth? Say, open your mouth wide and I, O Lord, will feel it. It is not too big for God to handle. It is not too mighty for God to do. He just needs you to open your heart to him. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. As long as you ask, you will receive. Can you open your mouth? Look to God concerning that thing that has been a burden to you, that has caused you tears over the night, that has made you to be sleepless. Can you bring it before God this evening and say, Father, this is my burden. This is my burden. Because of the celebration of the birth of your Son this season, I ask, O God, that this burden be lifted in the name of Jesus. This burden be lifted from my family. This burden be lifted from my life. This financial burden be lifted. Spiritual burden be lifted. By the power of God and by the grace of God upon this commission, I stand this evening and I ask, oh God, that those bodies are lifted in the name of Jesus. If you are still trusting God for something to come in for you, it is not too late. It might be car, it might be a house, it might be promotion, it might be whatever. Still trust God. God can still do it before this year runs out. Can you still trust God?
Prayer. In Jesus' name we are praying.